All right, I've got a lot of sermon. And so, as I heard Pastor Tony say the other day, and I think he actually probably got it from me, y'all listen fast today, and we'll have a lot of fun together. Okay, and I believe it was in 1987. You know, I don't understand some of the modern terminology about it's been a minute, because that was a few decades ago, but people talk like that. But I think best recollection, it was 1987. I was speaking in a conference in San Antonio, Texas, one of my favorite cities, one of our favorite cities. We call it our honeymoon city. And so I was there preaching, and, you know, the night service had ended, and they had me in a nice hotel. I'm in the hotel, but, you know, if you've been preaching during the day and been ministering to pastors at night, then, boy, I'm wound up. I'm not ready to take a nap yet, even though it's been a long day, because I'm pretty wound up. Well, I'm there in the hotel room, and I turned on the tube. And on the tube, Chevrolet had a new commercial. At least it was new to me. And I'm not a singer, but I'm just going to try to give you a little hint about it. It went something like this. Listen to the heartbeat of America. Today's Chevrolet. Sounded a whole lot better than that. But I'd been tuned into the Lord all day. You know, when you're on the right channel, and when you're tuned in, the Lord can speak to you through a number of ways. He can speak to you through your kids, your grandkids. He can speak through those little furry pets of yours. Right? He can give you examples and pictures. He can speak through nature. He can speak through people. He can speak through pastors. Somebody say amen. Huh? All right, we're at the right place at the right time. But as I was listening to that, and man, it really caught me because I loved the little jingle and it sounded so good, but it caught me and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. You say he spoke to you through a commercial? Well, I was tuned in. Get tuned in and see how all he speaks. But I'm telling you, it was pretty precious to me because I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, and he presents Jesus. The Holy Spirit presents Jesus. That's part of his role. And it came out like this. I heard the Holy Spirit singing this, or Jesus singing this to me. Listen to the heartbeat of your fabulous Father by seeing and hearing me in the B-I-B-L-E. Now, you know, I'm kind of simple, so the Lord has to talk pretty simple to me. That's okay, because I don't preach any deeper than that. So you'll probably enjoy this. Children's church could too. But it goes like this. He wants you to know him. And he wants you to hear his heartbeat. That's what he wants. And he wants you to hear him love on you. Because I want to tell you, we need a lot of loving. In this journey, we need a lot of loving. You know what? We need a lot of wisdom. And he loves to share his wisdom. But that's why he's given us the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. And the key is to focus on God in the Word. See Jesus in the Word. And when we see Jesus in the Word, guess what? Holy Spirit shows us who he is to you today. That's what's called revelation. Amen. He'll show you Jesus. And Jesus came, and you remember this, Jesus came to reveal his amazing Father to the world. Amen. He came to a religious world that had a wrong picture of Father. And he came to reveal how amazing that his Father is. Now, I've got toys here this morning, but this is the way this came to me. And I want to tell you what he wants. He wants you to get in the Word and see Jesus in the Word and hear Father's heartbeat for you. Hear Father's heartbeat. Listen to his heartbeat. Heartbeat of the kingdom. Heartbeat of the Father for you. And this is part of how that we approach the Lord in a worthy manner. Paul gave us instruction that even when it came to communion, that we're to approach the Lord in a worthy manner. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it focused on us. We take communion focused on him, seeing him. And so anything Any way you approach the Lord needs to be in a worthy man. Yes. Don't make it about you. Make it about Him. Focus on Him. If you make it about you, I'm telling you, you can distort and twist any truth in the Bible. At the least, you can weaken what He's trying to say. You can pervert what He's saying if your focus is on you. Make it about Him. And when He reveals Himself, guess what? The Holy Spirit will make it about you. Because He is the one that will apply it. He's the one that gives us wisdom and understanding. Does that sound like the Lord to you? Well, I want to tell you, when we focus on the Lord, when we come to the Word, we come to the Word listening. Listen. You're listening as you read. You're listening to the heartbeat of the Lord. Lord, what are You saying to me? His book is, this book, and I know your Western education, you have to put on pause when it comes to the Bible. Because when it comes to the Bible, the most important thing is not the information. The most important thing is not the facts. That's what we're trained to do. But I'm telling you, we have to have a spiritual mindset. And we have to approach the Lord in a worthy manner. The most important thing is not the information. It's not written to your brain. The most important thing is revelation, not information. Amen. This Bible is written to your heart. It's written to your heart. Because He wants you to know His heart. He wants you to see Him, to discover Him. You know what this Bible is for? It's to reveal, to help you get to know the author. Wow. It makes a heaven of a lot of difference when you get to know the author. Because when you get to know Him, it's a whole lot easier to see what He's saying. To see who He is. Because the author, Jesus is the Word. Don't we celebrate that? Yes. Jesus is the Word. Well, that's why this is so important, that when we listen to the Word. And I want to tell you, it's the same way when you approach the Lord in prayer. Approach Him in a worthy manner. It'll make a whole lot of difference in your prayer life if you make your prayer life about Him. I didn't know this until I spent time with Papa Ravenhill, Leonard Ravenhill. But I got to be in his house for 2 years every Thursday and listen to him pray. And he spent most of his time loving on the Lord. He would just adore the Lord. And he would love on the Lord. And I want to tell you, after about 90%, and I've heard him pray for a straight hour. I mean, it's amazing. But after about 90% of him loving on the Lord, there was such an awareness of His presence. There was such a consciousness of how majestic He is, how beautiful He is, how loving He is, that I want to tell you, it became easy to ask the Lord for the impossible, because you were esteeming Him. Are you listening, saints? And so, listen, that's the thing about prayer. You approach the Lord in a worthy manner. You know, people want to say, well, I don't know the words to say. The words aren't that important. You don't have to use the these and the thous. You know what He wants to hear? He wants to hear your heartbeat. He wants you to share your heartbeat with Him. And you say, well, it's ugly. Get it out. He's not shocked. But listen, hey, this is what I'm telling you. This is why the Word is so important. Because you be honest and open with the Lord. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm grieving. I'm hurting. And you seek Him and focus on Him in the Word. See Jesus in the Word. And this is what you hear. Lord, I'm grieving. I am your right now comfort. Amen. Let me love on you. You say, Lord, my heart's disturbed. I got a storm going on the inside. I'm your peace. Let me love on you. Lord, I got more month than I got money. Lord, they're ringing the phone. Lord, I'm in a mess. Lord, I got lack. I am your unlimited supply. Amen. Let me love on you. Lord, I'm sick. I don't know how I got here, but I'm hurting. I'm sick. Wait. I'm your healer. Amen. Let me love on you. Lord, I don't even know why. I got a case of the sads. I'm just so sad, and I don't even know why. I'm your joy.
Yes, He is.
I've given you my sayings for your joy. Let me love on you. Lord, I'm so confused. I don't know which way to turn. I need some direction. It's like I'm in a trap. I'm in a pit. I'm your shepherd.
Amen.
I will guide you.
Amen.
Follow me. Let me love on you.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now look. This is a love letter. It's a love letter. And He wants and loves to love on you. And He designed you to need to be loved on. That's not bad. That's good. He designed you to need Him. Listen to me. He's your hope. Hear His heartbeat. Hey, you say, well, I just don't have any faith. Yes, you do. You have His kind of faith inside of you. And so listen to Him. He's your faith. And the best way to encounter Him is to enjoy Him in the Word. Now, when you practice enjoying Him in the Word, there's going to be opportunity for you to embrace the Word.
Amen.
Hey. His truth will set you free when you embrace it. Hear it and embrace it.
Amen.
He's not going to do it without you.
Amen.
You know what Christian life requires? Your cooperation. Your yes to His yeses. That's what He wants. Here's an example of embracing His word is Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, somebody say Adam.
Adam.
Yeah, that's Adam. Sin came into the world because of Adam.
Yeah.
No, you say, well, I sin because I'm a sinner. No, you don't. Wait. You sin because of Adam's sin was passed on to you. You sin because sin was passed on to you.
Yeah.
Sinning don't make you a sinner. You sin because you're a sinner.
Yeah.
It was passed into your DNA because of Adam. The Bible says death reigned through that one.
Yeah.
Through his disobedience, you were born in disobedience.
Right.
You say, well, that's not fair. I'm telling you, that's Bible.
Yeah.
Wait, there's good news. The manifestations of death that you experience on this journey, and there's a lot of them, was never God's will. It was a result of sin and rebellion. That was the enemy's plan for you. Death, not God's. He designed you to have life. Now, look at this. We understand that's through Adam. Much more surely. Would you repeat after me? Much more surely. Now look, this is what this means. The evidence of death, and there's a lot of them on this journey. Depression is a form of death. It's not life. Sickness is a form of death. It's not life. Hey, disturbance between relationships. That's a form of death, not life. But when it says much more surely, it means it's way up here. Much more truly, truly, truly is way up here. That's what Jesus brought. He brought the much more. And so the problem is a lot of times church life, people believe more in the power of death and of sin than they do of life and righteousness. There's a lot of power in grace, my friend. It's a much more. Is that exciting? What are you showing me here, baby? Take this off. Oh, thank you. I've been preaching 48 years and I'm still learning. I need coaching too. You did well, thank you. I'm going to put it back on a little bit though. Okay. Look at this. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, those that receive Jesus. Because when you receive Jesus, you get the package. You don't get part of him, you get the whole. And I want to tell you, we're still discovering what all we have gained in Christ. That's part of the exciting part of still being on earth and on this journey, is getting to know him better and better and getting to know what all grace means. Those who receive God's overflowing. Overflowing is more than enough. It's more than you could ever use. Is that exciting? It means this. Everything that you'll ever need in this journey has already been paid for, more than enough than you can ever use. Say, well, I don't really understand grace. Let me spell grace for you. J-E-S-U-S is a person. And he loves for you to receive the overflow of him. Because I want to tell you something. When you receive the overflow of him, grace will be manifested to you. This is how it shows up. It shows up as Jesus in his person, his presence. We call it the three P's. His presence, his power. I mean to tell you, he gave you a lot of promises in this word, and he's not a teaser. He didn't just give you the promises of this word that you're more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror, that you have resurrection life in you. That's dynamite power of Jesus on the inside of you. You say, well, where is it? No, he's not teasing. Grace will manifest to you his presence, his power, and his passion. That's the love of Jesus being manifested to you. Man, we get to experience the overflow of his love. We have an advantage over the rest of the world, because we have him, overflowing grace, and the free gift of righteousness. Now, the free gift of righteousness is what his blood paid for. And what that means is this, is that you get, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you get his rightness in you. Now, on the cross, he took all of our wrong in order for us to receive his rightness. Is that a great deal? And when you receive Christ, you receive the free gift. You say, now, there's a lot of religion that tries to teach you to earn it and attain it, but that's not right. Okay, it's a free gift. It's not something. It's like grace. It's not. Grace means unmerited. You don't deserve the amazing goodness of Jesus, but he paid for it. He paid for your gift of rightness. You say, well, I did wrong this week. Well, I'm not shocked. The Lord's not shocked either. But this is the deal, is that his rightness is a free forever gift. That means he will forever see you through the rightness of his son, not through the wrong of what you've done. Now look, we got to see ourselves the way Father sees us. Because he will never see you outside of his son, Jesus. Because everything we've ever done wrong has already been put on Jesus. And he paid for it. He paid for your everlasting forgiveness. And so I want to tell you, it's very, very important that we embrace the truth. You say, well, I don't understand it. Don't let that stop you from embracing it. Okay, you probably don't understand however way the automobile works. That don't keep you from getting in it and turning on the key and taking off. It's the one on the right. Yeah. I'm telling you, don't let that stop you. Now, as we grow and go in the Lord, he'll give us greater and greater understanding. And that's part of the joy of it. But I want to tell you, we operate by faith, not by our understanding. It's by faith first. It's not by our knowledge, it's by faith. It's not by your feeling. You say, well, I feel so bad about what I did wrong. God did not pay the price for you to be totally forgiven, for you to run around like a little puppy with the tail between the legs. Because you're not walking in abundant life that way. Hey, he has paid the price for us to rule and reign on this earth. Are you interested in that? He's interested because he paid for it, and he deserves what he paid for. Somebody say amen for that. Okay, and so it's the overflowing grace, free gift of righteousness. We will reign as kings. What? Just in heaven. Now, thank you for being a people of the word. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be great. Man, we'll eat our cake in heaven. It'll be a blast. But we don't have to wait till heaven to have steak on the plate here. Not because of us, but because of him. And so it says that we by faith receive, practice receiving the overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness as we are embracing those. I want to tell you, he will cause us to reign as kings in this life. Why? By our brain or by our education or about what all we accomplish out here? No. It's because of him and him alone. Amen. Because of Jesus. And so, this is why that you'll hear TNT preaching. You're going to hear a lot, and you do, about the gift of righteousness and overflowing grace. Because the more that you practice remembering that this is true, my experience may not line up with it all the time, but this is the truth.
Amen.
Hey, when you practice hearing it, the more you remember it, the more you meditate on it, the more you embrace it, the more you receive it. The more you receive it, the more you reign in this life. That's why you hear a lot of preaching on it here. And you will. Now look, no matter what happens in you in the experiential realm, because we fumble the ball sometime. The word is forever true. This Bible is forever true. And your experience, even if it don't measure up with this word, it's a lie. It's wrong. And so it's okay for you to walk in humility and say, oops, Lord, you're right. I spilled my Cheerios on that one. I changed my mind. That's not the real me. I am what you say that I am. That's the greater reality. This may be a fact that I got spilled milk everywhere, but the reality is that I'm an overcomer because you paid for it. I can have a victory mindset in spite of me fumbling the ball. Are you with me? Well, it makes a lot of difference. And so you don't judge your position of the rightness that Jesus paid for. It's the gift of righteousness. You don't judge your position that he paid for based on your experience. You don't judge your position based on your practice. Sometimes your practice is out of order. Your state can fluctuate. You may just wake up with a case of SADS. You know, you can have a bad day. You can have a sad day. That doesn't mean that's the real you. Somehow or another, we've got our signals crossed up. Maybe we embraced an arrow the enemy sent. And you know what? We embrace sadness when he's paid the price for our joy and gladness. That happens. But I want to tell you something. Don't judge your state by your position. Don't judge. Judge your practice by your position, not your position by the practice.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Man, I'm hoping to make it clear. Don't judge your position by your behavior. You judge your behavior by your position. The more we embrace our position, the more our behavior is reflected in our position. It's a progress. We're on a journey. I'll tell you the power of this word. Because this church has an amazing gift of unity. And that's because of Jesus. Because we've got people from different backgrounds, different education, different social, different colors. I love that. But I want to tell you, our unity, even though we want to get to know each other better and better, our unity is not based on information alone. Our unity is based on our union with Jesus. And so it's very, very important, because this word will cause you to realign your life, your thinking, your life, and your heart with His heartbeat. And when you do that, guess what? You are walking in the love lane to love each other like He loves you. Now that's divine love. And that's what brings us into unity. I've never met a human that did not need more nutrition. Boy, I nearly got knocked down with amens. I'm not the doctor or son of a doctor, but what I'm telling you is because of your poison air, poison water, poison food, and the fact that we eat poison on purpose sometimes. Come on now. I want to tell you something. Every human needs super nutrition. I wonder what would happen, because according to experts, and I don't know this, but according to experts, every cell in your body is continuing to either birth and die, and over the process of a year or a little longer, every cell in your body is replaced. Wow, that's interesting. And so I want to tell you, if we were to saturate, somebody say saturate, our cells with super nutrition instead of poison, I wonder what our bodies would be like in a year. That's an interesting concept, Brother Tim. Well, it has to do in a spiritual realm. Because I've never met a believer who did not need supernatural nutrition for their soul. God's word on a daily basis. Somebody say continually. That's the way He designed you. Your soul needs this. Daily supernatural nutrition. I started preaching when I was in high school. I've preached for 48 years and I'm still learning. But I want to tell you something. I started preaching in high school, and so I was traveling and preaching a lot, especially the early years, a whole lot. And I preached in many churches. I think now it's up to 814, and that doesn't mean that I got it all figured out. It's just a testimony of God's power, because you're looking at a guy who could not give a book report in high school. I could not. The girls would laugh. My face would turn red. The teacher would enjoy it. And put a helmet on me and put me out on a field with men, and I could lead them. But get me in front of a class and trying to do a book report, and I would freeze up. My brain would freeze up. I couldn't. The administration actually believed in me more than I did, and they put me in speech for 2 years, my last 2 years of high school. And it didn't help a whole lot. What really helped was when I started preaching, because anointing would come on me. And I would have freedom to speak. I knew it was as much of a miracle as anybody else. Amen. What was precious for me, even though I was trying to go to Bible school and seminary, and I did for a number of years, it was really, really tough because I was on the road so much. And but how many of you would believe that actually learned more about ministry from preaching in churches and sitting down at the feet of these generals in the Lord and listening to them, learning, listening to them as they shared their journey and shared the principles out of God's word that He used in their life. And I actually learned more about ministry from sitting down at the feet of generals in the Lord than I did in seminary or Bible school. Does that shock anybody? Well, I want to tell you, it was kind of beautiful to me, because even though I was trying to go to school in a certain town, and I was going a lot, there was a local pastor there, a couple of them, that would have me preach in their churches. But since they were local, when I wasn't away preaching, I would go over to their house and sit down and just listen to them share with me. One of them was Pastor Paul Nouse in Jacksonville, Texas, and he was a great general in the Lord, and he loved it that I would come over, because he wanted to share. He had much to share. And he had this little saying, and a lot of the old-timers had it. I don't hear it much anymore. But the old-timers had this saying, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Wow. Anybody ever heard that? I tell you, it was common that they said it. And what they were saying was, is that the Word of God is more important to my life than the very food that I eat or the sleep that I get. I want to tell you, they proved it. Pastor Paul Nouse, for example, I can remember being over at his house, and Mama Nouse would make some lunch, and I'd just be there. And, you know, he could not go an hour without breaking out the Word of God and sharing something that the Lord had showed him. I can remember even during lunch. Now, if it can happen during lunch, you know it's important. During lunch, he would stop everything and open the Bible and say, man, this is what the Lord was saying to me this morning. Now, I want to tell you, that was important for me to hear. It's important for you to hear. It's vital that believers are in the Word every day. Now, Pastor Tony's out preaching and pouring his life into leaders, pastors and leaders halfway around the world. This is something that we do. This is something that you do because we do. We sow seed in other fields. We love pastors. We pour our life into pastors, into shepherds. We love shepherds, and all the church said. Amen. Well, I want to tell you something, because when you minister to a shepherd, you minister to everybody he ministers to. You see that? How exciting is that? But I want to tell you, some of the pastors that we minister to and love on, and I hate to say this because I'm trying to work with them and help them, but some of them, as their pattern, do not get in the Word of God till it's sermon preparation day. I tell them no, 1,000 times no. You can't live that way. How many of you know that if you go 5 days without eating, are you strong? Are you weak? See, this is what I mean by children's church. It's the same way with this supernatural spiritual nutrition. You go 5, 6, 7 days without feasting on the Word of God. Are you strong or are you weak? Thank you for that mighty amen. Job 14, 7 through 9. For there is hope for a tree if it's cut down. Now, I want to tell you, we know what it's like to be cut down. You know I'm preaching in the right place because, man, this journey is tough. It's full of troubles. He never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's got to be a little rain sometime. That's way older than most of you have been born. But I want to tell you, it's a truth. This is not heaven. This is earth. It's a battlefield. And I want to tell you, even though there's precious days that he's promised, there's also days of attack. There's also days of trouble. And sometimes we get cut down in this journey. Am I right? And the enemy will try to blame and shame you for you falling. And he had something to do with it. Not only will he entice you and tempt you to fall, but then he'll turn around and blame you for it when you do. He don't fight fair. And so you may see yourself in your journey as a tree that's been cut down. And the enemy will tell you, it's done, it's over, you're done. But listen to this. It will sprout again. Amen. Somebody say new life. Freedom life. Freedom life comes because of Jesus. Listen to this. The tender roots shoot up. Will not cease. In the Amplified, it brings up something that in the Hebrew is hinted to, but there's no such hope for man. You say, well, what's the deal here? Well, I'm going to try to explain it to you. Because in plant life, God has put it in the DNA of plant life. Win. Live. Everything that you have to do to live, live. He's put that in DNA. Now, in your DNA, before you receive Christ, I want to tell you, you're born loser. I'm just telling you, before Christ. After you receive Christ, you have his win in you because he's inside of you. But I want to tell you, even though your DNA has changed because you're a new creation in Christ, even though your DNA has changed, something's very, very important. It's not an automatic win for you, even though it's been paid for. You know what? With man, different than plant life, it's in their DNA to whatever it takes to win. In your DNA, the win's there. But you have to put a yes to it. You have to cooperate. You have to say yes. You have to submit to it. You have to embrace it. You have to line your line, your life up with what God says. Yes, yes, you receive it. Now, it's, by grace, it's already been paid for. The gift of righteousness has been paid for. But I'm just sharing this to you. You need repentance. You say, well, what's repentance? It means simply to change your mind, change direction. That's it. It won't happen without your cooperation. But with your cooperation, all things are possible to those who say yes to the Lord, to those who believe. Now look at this. And I know it's true. I know you know that, and I do quite a bit of traveling on the highway, and sometimes the interstate can become a parking lot. You understand what I'm saying. And so it was one of those times that the interstate had become a parking lot, and it was in the spring of the year. And so I'm sitting on I-20, waiting for somebody to move. I look over to the left, because I'm in the hammer lane. I look over to the left, and out of a very little crack in the concrete, because you know it's 8 lanes of concrete. Out of a very little crack in concrete, there's a little blue bonnet that has sprouted up in the middle of all that concrete and flowered. Now I want to tell you, when I saw that, I said, this is the yes. No matter how barren your life may have become, when you say yes to God, I want to tell you, it's on. And He will sprout up new life in you. But would you look at this? Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stalks die in the ground, there may have been people said that you're finished. You'll never recover. You'll never bounce back. Yet through the scent of water. The scent of water. Now, as I meditate on this, I got a little picture of this. The scent of water is the smallest quantity of water that you can measure. You know what it is? It's vapor. It's vapor. But what God is saying is that the water of His Word, because this word is pictured as water, the water of His Word is so powerful that even though it may look like your life is over with and it's done, just the very vapor, listen to me, breathing in, the very vapor of this word will cause new life, freedom life to spring up in you. That's how supernatural this nutrition is. Does that excite you about getting in the Word? Does that help you to know that we don't have to go 5 or 6 days without receiving? We don't have to walk in weakness? This is a important ingredient for our strength, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look at this. Hey, just breathing in the water, you will bud. New life will come forth. Bring forth new life like a young plant. Because He's the God of restoration. And He'll use the water of His Word in your life. Scent of water. Now you may say, well, I feel like I've been cut off. You may feel like you're out of sync. Well, your feeling is not the end result. There's a greater reality if you know Christ. And I want to tell you, He loves to restore your life. Are there areas of your life where you're more aware of death than life? See, that's an important question. Now, I don't believe in self-examination, so I'm not sending you on that journey. But what we're told in Scripture that you can do, you can ask the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you. I dare you to ask. Lord, search my heart. Are you more aware of death or life? Real life on this battlefield, this planet Earth, I'm telling you, you still got flesh because it's in this system. One day this system won't be around, okay? But you still got flesh in you. And that flesh is a part of you that's attracted to sin. Amen, Brother Tim. That's why that we need daily yes to God, daily surrender, daily filling. Now let me be clear. In your spirit, because you are spirit and you have a soul and you live in this earth suit. But in your spirit that's been born again, full-time Jesus is there, grown-up Jesus is there, and you're filled with the fullness of God. And so you don't ever say that you're completely empty. No, you're not. You're filled with the fullness of God in your spirit. The problem is that we need to draw out of our spirit into our soul. And we have a hydrant there on the outside. We need to turn it on. That's our yes to God. And receive the water of the Word, the life of the Word to come out in us. I want to tell you, this is why we need daily to nutrition and daily to hydrate. If you don't hydrate, you die. We don't want the evidence of death. We want the evidence of life in us. The world's anti-God. The devil's a real enemy. He tries to deal with us with the D's, D for devil. It goes like this. He wants to depress you. He wants to disturb your heart. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. He wants to deceive you. He wants to distract you. There's others. That's all I got time to preach right now. But that's his goal, to steal, kill, and destroy. And you can't say, well, the devil made me do it. I have people show up sometime and say this, and you know what my response is? Your name not Flip Wilson. That's older than a lot of you. He was so funny saying, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He just invited you. He just gave you an opportunity. He just tempted you. You have to cooperate with him for it to land. Okay? Well, we get on the wrong channel sometime. If you get on the wrong channel, you can use your chooser to choose wrong. Because, see, God gave you a free will. He gave you a chooser. And he said, hey, I put it before you. New Testament, Old Testament, all the way through. He says, I put before you life and death. And then he gave some advice. Choose life. Because when you're choosing life, he gets to love on you. He gets to bless you. He gets to walk you in divine protection. All that's beautiful. But when you choose death, you invite the enemy as a target. You say, bring it on. And Jesus made it clear. He said, it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So don't blame God for what you're allowing the enemy to do. Okay. Sometimes he fools us. Sometimes he gets in. Amen. Some have said to me this, well, my sin's private. No, I'm telling you, this is a real deal out there. Because I've had pastors show up and say, you know, I got this secret thing going on, but nobody knows about it, so it's not bothering anybody. And it's really not bothering me, but, I just need to win this. I have to tell them, you know, it's no such thing as a secret sin. It's disturbing you, it's disturbing others. Without you even realizing it. They say, no, I'm doing okay. No, every sin, get this now, every sin always brings a measure of death and darkness. Especially when you embrace it, when you continue in it. Okay? You can't be one of those who'll say, well, that never happened to me. Or I won't let it get that far. No, my friend. You're just not seeing it yet. Because you either progress or regress. What direction are we going? Don't allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. This is what we don't recognize, and I'm going to try to explain this real quick because I got more to go. We don't recognize that sin dulls our heart. You become more insensitive to the Lord. And you don't recognize it because you still have all the knowledge here that you knew before. Be advised, if you continue to choose and embrace sin, your heart will become hardened. Man, this is in Romans 1. I don't have time to turn there. But I'm telling you, this is what happens. Your sin will become hardened. You become more insensitive, then it becomes hardened. And when it becomes hardened, then you will say what happens when people come to see me and they say, I don't know when this happened. You wake up one day and think, what happened? How did I get here? I'm in a pit. It's like I'm chained up. I'm not in charge anymore. What happened? Well, you see, this is what we don't see, is that there's an invisible line. And we may think we're just window shopping. Okay? Oh, I'm just, you know. No. Because you never know when you get to the other side of the window. You never know when you cross that invisible line, because you can't see it, you probably don't feel it, but you wake up and realize, uh-oh, the uh-oh moment's here. Now, see, that's how it happens. And Bible says, Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so I want to tell you, listen to me. You're going in the direction of your dominant thought. That's why the Bible says to guard your heart. It says this in Proverbs 4:23, guard and keep your heart, because out of it flows the springs of life. Now I want to tell you what the springs of life is. It's the path of life. And so if you don't guard your heart, and that dominant thought is toward darkness, then I want to tell you, it will create a path of darkness for you. And the next thing you know, without even realizing it, you're operating on that path instead of the light path. The path of light. The path of truth. You're operating on the path of deception. And it's dark and it's disturbing. It's entrapping. I want to show you how it manifests. Emotionally. You become tired. Now, I want to tell you. Emotions are fickle. They fluctuate. That's why we have to put the brakes on our emotions. You have to have recognition. Wait. Is that emotion, is that life or death? Is that emotion leading me toward God or away from God? See, that's why sometimes even during worship, I love to watch you worship. It's beautiful. I love this praise and worship team. But sometimes I want to get up there and say, hey, go all out. Because God's created in us an emotion cup. And I want to tell you, what are you filling your emotion cup up with? Because if you're filling your emotion cup up with emotions that have a circumstance of death, then I want to tell you, that's why, and a lot of times we don't understand, or you don't understand why, that all of a sudden one more little thing happens, and the next thing you know, that cup just comes spilling out. And you show out and mark off a spot and just have a spell. And everybody's saying, what was the deal? That was little. No, that emotional cup has been building up a long time. And so that's why that we need to take our emotions to the Lord. Well, what do? Confess them. Lord, I got this sadness and I don't know why, but I give it to you. And so he will have you listen to his heartbeat in the word, and you embrace his gladness, his joy, and his truth will bring joy to your heart. You say, well, I tried that. You keep doing it till it manifests. Yeah. Don't take one swing and leave. Stay there and seek him and praise him and thank him until joy overflows in your heart and you start filling up your emotional cup with joy. That's why I'm saying that our praise and worship needs to be an emotional experience. Because God's created praise and worship for your emotional cup to overflow with joy and peace and love. That's health to you. That's life to you. And I want to tell you, you say, well, I'm not real comfortable doing that in public. It's because you don't do it in private. So come on. Yeah, he's worthy. Amen, Brother Tim. Get back to scripture. Okay, I'm headed there. So are you daily more aware of life and death? Because I'll have some of them defend themselves. Well, brother, you know, what are you talking about death? I'm still alive. Yeah, but it's a process. Sneaks up on you. What direction are you going? Are you daily more aware of life and death? What are you feeding on? Because whatever you're feeding is what's going to be the strength. Bible says it like this, whatever power you yield to will rule over you. Don't try to make yourself an exception to that. You're going in the direction of your thought life. That's just why that we must continually and daily read the word, because according to the Bible, this is what renews our mind. This is what reprograms your computer. You say, well, do I have to do it? No, you get to do it every day, because it's life to you, and you'll develop an appetite for life. And I want to tell you something, it's very, very important, because you're daily bombarded by the world view, the world news. Well, if you hadn't figured this out, I just want to tell you, you know, the news is on a cycle, you know. It repeats it every few minutes. And so if you sit there all day, you know, you're pounding in your computer, world views. Negative news. You say, well, I just want, no, that affects you.
Yes.
Input, output.
Right.
It affects you. That's why that we got to saturate ourselves with supernatural nutrition. For our emotions, our world. Hey, the world comes against us, our emotions, the flesh, the devil. We need daily nutrition. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A picture of this is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 36. I don't have time to turn to it. You can write it down for later. I don't think it's even in your notes. But it went like this. This is a beautiful picture. The Bible says that when they found out that Jesus was coming to a village, they would go out through the whole area and bring all the sick people in. And they would line up the sick people like on one of the streets. And then they'd have Jesus walk down the street and they would cry out to him, just let us touch your garment. How do you think the little lady that was healed from the issue of blood, how she knew that if she touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed? Because she heard testimonies, my friend, of this happening. And so he would go down, and I kind of see it like the basketball games, you know, where they come out and they got their hands like this and everybody touches their hands, you know. Okay, that's the way I see it. But here's Jesus coming down the street, and they reach out and just touch the hem of his garment, and they were healed. Bible doesn't say some of them. Bible says they were healed because they reached out to touch him. I want to tell you, you can touch him every day. See, don't be satisfied with the scripture of the day. Don't be satisfied with the little Devo. Hey, reach out and touch him in it. You see, it's your approach that makes a difference. If you're coming to the Lord with an expectation that, Lord, I want to touch you. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to know you. Holy Spirit magnifies that and makes it personal to us. Man, that's exciting. You say, well, I believe that. Well, we practice daily what we believe. Everything else is just religious talk. Okay, I'll say it again. We practice daily what we believe. Everything else is religious talk. God's given us this word. Man, this word needs to be our filter. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pike. But I want to tell you something. You dive in this word and you receive the blessing. I want to tell you what happens. You receive the blessing. You automatically reverse the curse that's in this world by receiving the blessing. We don't have to focus on the bad. We can just focus on the good. And watch the power of supernatural nutrition drive out the bad. If your body's tired, weak, and sick, you need to stop taking in what's making you sick. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? I'm telling you, children's church, get this. You see, it goes like this. Emotionally, if you're tired, weak, sick, death. That happens. Physically, wait. Tired, weak, sick, death. Any of that can be reversed because he's the God of restoration.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, it takes your chooser and it takes concentrating, saturating yourself with supernatural nutrition. And I want to tell you, it makes a difference. You change. You change direction. You know what? It goes like this. Life's greater than death. Life is stronger than death. Wait. Much more grace is a much higher reality than the power of sin and death. Grace and truth came through Jesus. And I want to tell you, he ministers abundant life, and life chases out death. That's why that he could do what was against the law in that day. Because in the law of that day, you know, you couldn't touch a leper because you would get sick. Leper was more powerful. Disease was more powerful. But I want to tell you, the Jesus life is more powerful than sickness or disease or death. And you know what? Jesus never attended a funeral. He interrupted him. Oh my, let me tell you something. Everybody that came to Jesus to get healed got healed. I'm just saying. Wait a minute. When he came, he ministered life. That's why that when the leper came and just said, hey, if you will, he said, I will. And you know what? He reached out and touched the leper. Why could he do that? Because his life is greater than death. And so I'm telling you, that life is in you. That's why you need to take in the life. Take in the water of the Word. The Bible says that this water, we'll cover this next week, the water has a cleansing effect on you. It's a cleansing effect.
Amen.
Man, it's so exciting. But let me tell you what happens. You've got two command centers. How much time? Oh, I got plenty of time. Okay. We got two command centers in your being here, in your body. Let's just talk physical. You got this one up here. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
You got a command center here, and you got a command center in here. It's your immune system. You got two armies that live inside here. The good guys and the bad guys. The bad guys are there to work destruction. The good guys are here. They're your immune system. They're designed to defeat the bad guys. Whichever one you're feeding is what's going to win. That's power probiotics. I don't have time to go into that. But I want to tell you, here's a command center too. This command center, the way you think, sends signals to your whole system. This is all connected. I know we like to separate it, but it's all connected. And I want to tell you, when you're thinking negative, when you're thinking destruction, when you're thinking sin and darkness, there's neuropeptides, and they're a communication center, a way of communicating. All your little cells have antennas, and they're sending signals to this army and to all your cells, life or death. See, we have an advantage. Because I want to tell you, the Bible says that a merry heart, hey, you walking in the peace and the joy, the love of Jesus, a merry heart is medicine to your whole system. Well, science is just catching up with the Bible. The Bible been saying it. God's been saying it a long time. Hey, look, it goes like this in Proverbs, that if you will catch the word, find it, find that truth, embrace it, make it a part of you. It's life to your whole body. And so I want to tell you, we have an advantage over the world. They say, well, yeah, they got the vitamins and organic and all that. Well, you know, I believe in that too. But I want to tell you, if you get down to it, even your organic is fallen. Now go organic, that's fine. Do it. We do, but go for it. You need to feed your system, those armies, the good stuff. You feed them the poison. I want to tell you what makes a difference. It's when this command center, you're receiving the life of Jesus here. You're sending signals. We choose life throughout all your body. And when you get this command center and this command center in agreement, you know about the power of agreement. You know about the power of unity. I want to tell you, health is not only on its way, it's happening, my friend. Because God designed you that way. Now wait, are we going to be believers of the word? Are we going to practice the word? Are we going to embrace the word? Are we going to enjoy the Lord in the word?
Amen.
Program of restoration chases out death. Bible says that his love, you receiving his love through this word, will absolutely chase out every form, ministry of death, fear out of your life. That's Bible. Now, is the word true? Or is he just teasing us with it? It's true. Are you choosing life or death? Touch Jesus, you touch life. Sometimes death shows up, I got to say this, under the title of good things. Oh, see, that's kind of tough. That's why you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to hear from the Lord. He'll give you wisdom. You know what wisdom is? It's hearing God's voice, hearing God's word. When God gave Solomon wisdom, if you go back and look at it, he gave him a hearing heart to hear his words. That's wisdom. You got that when you got Jesus. Because he said, my sheep can hear my voice. Now I want to tell you, wait a minute. You got to get this. Are you receiving life or death? Sometimes good things get in the way. I don't know if you remember this example. It goes back, way back in my childhood. We only had one channel, you know. So we're watching the TV, and it's this little show on at show different acts and stuff, but one of the guys had these little plates that he would spin on a stick. And he'd get it going, and he'd get another one and spin it. And he'd get it going, get another one, and another one, and another one. And he'd get all the way down to the end, get a number of plates spinning, and the one over here on the other would be real wobbly. And he'd run back there and spin it, and he was doing that all back and forth, but it was an amazing event. Now, I want to tell you what happens. The enemy can trick us into doing so many good things, so busy doing good things that we miss the main thing. So I'm telling you, just because the world may applaud, just because you may be able to define them as good things, is it a God thing? Is it the Lord's priority? Because I want to tell you, it don't matter. This is one of the challenges of ministry that we deal with pastors. You can get so busy doing all the good stuff that you miss the main thing. Let's let the main thing be the main thing. And that's Jesus. Your walk, your fellowship with Jesus. Because everything that you fill your heart up with that, that's what decides the path of your life. I was invited to minister to some folk in a resort area. Now, that's not always where I get to go, but it made me smile. I'm talking beach. Yeah, I'm there suffering for Jesus on the beach ministering. Yeah. But anyway, this family had rented this ginormous house, and there were a lot of rooms and big living room, big kitchen together. They all had different rooms. They gave me a room. It was so nice. And so early in the morning, as was my custom, I was in the kitchen enjoying the Lord, in the Word, enjoying the Lord. I have to have it. You want me to meet with the Lord for hours before I meet with you. I promise you. But I want to tell you, I was there enjoying the Lord, and the family began to wake up and come into the kitchen area. And I'll never forget, the pastor's wife came in and she said, "Oh, Brother Tim, I've been so busy. We've worked so hard to have fun." Don't we do that?
Yeah.
"We've worked so hard to have fun. I've been so busy. I've been just out of touch and out of contact with the Lord. And I'm just dry. And I'm just hungry. I'm thirsty." I said, "You're going to receive. Because when we come to Him hungry and thirsty, guess what happens? He pours it on." Okay? Those that think they don't need anything, they don't receive. Those that know they have a need, it's on. And so I want to tell you, it was so precious for me. As the family came in, I was sharing the Lord with them. And as they made breakfast and ate breakfast, I was able to share spiritual breakfast. And man, it was a great day. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. When you're enjoying Him in the Word, He enables you, that's what grace does, enables you to enjoy daily things at a much more fulfilling, higher level than you would without Him. Life begets life. Hey, I brought this coffee cup here because this is my traveling coffee cup. I have a different one at home. But when I'm on the road, this has got some caffeine in it. And I'm driving down the road, sipping on the coffee. Well, on this particular trip, I had to have more than one cup. Okay. It's okay. The commitment's to keep the shiny side up. And so, but I didn't finish all of that second cup. I put it back and behind the seat in a holder. And it's summertime, and I'll just be honest with you, I forgot it. Well, you know in the Texas heat, after a few days, that was gross in there. I'm telling you, it was black. It looked like black concrete. It was filthy. It was dirty. It was ugly. Now, I want to tell you something. In our journey, that can happen. I'm not throwing any Bibles at you, because here's the deal, is that Jesus paid for you not to stay that way. We got the cleansing of the Word of God. Amen. We got repentance. We got great grace. You're the gift of righteousness. So that's not the real coffee cup. That's just stuff it's got on it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so what I did is I brought it in the house. I set it in the sink and turned the water on. And I got a phone call. Now, I'm not the gifted one of multi I just can't do that. I have to focus on one thing at a time and hope it goes well. I don't multitask. I turned on the water in the cup. I forgot it because I'm on the phone. After I get through with the phone call, and I don't even remember how long it was, I come back and thought, oh, the coffee cup, water running still. So I go to pick up the cup, and you know what? It's clean. You understand that?
Yep, yep.
A continual washing of the word. How shall a young man?
Yes.
How shall an old man?
Yes.
How shall any woman?
Right.
Cleanse her way with the washing of the water of the word. Why? Because it's dynamite. It's powerful. The Lord's designed you for that. And you know what? He has a cleansing effect on you in the word. You say, well, I don't even understand what I'm reading. It still has a powerful effect.
Yes.
Keep at it. Keep seeking. We use the word ask. Ask, seek, and knock while you're reading. And watch what the Lord will do in your life. Has a cleansing effect on your life. That's the power of the word. Do you believe that? Okay. You know what? I've got to, wow. You know what? That's going to be the start of next week, because this is a 2-week series. Let me just share this verse with you, 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'm going to share this with you because we're fixing to get to do this. We have confessing the word every week. It's in your newsletter. I've seen my little darling take this at times in her life, cut it out, tape it on the mirror. And it's pretty sweet to me to hear her confessing the word while she's getting ready. Because I want to tell you, she doesn't just say she believes it, she's practicing it. When you practice the word, speaking the word, it has effect. It allows you to meditate on it. And that's what I'm going to start with next week, because I can't go there today. But I want to tell you something. It says this: we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. This is Old Testament, New Testament. We too believe, therefore we speak. There's a lot of power in taking the word of God and meditating on it. It means to mutter. It means to say it over and over to yourself. It means to think on it, to chew on it, to take that orange and squeeze every drop. Do like the cow chewing the cud. You bring it back up. This is before lunch. You bring it back up and chew it. Get everything out of it. It's as you're meditating on it that I want to tell you the Holy Spirit shows you life and light, shows you Jesus. I want to tell you it becomes rhema to you. It becomes life to you. But it's powerful to speak it. Your soul needs to hear your body say the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus confessed the word of God when he was tempted by the enemy. If he did it, it's just fine for us to do it. I'm going to tell you this testimony, and I'm going to do this. Years ago, many years ago, I was on staff at a church, and I was a counselor on staff. I was a youth pastor, too, but I was a counselor. And this little woman had come to the church, and she got a nickname. We shouldn't do this, but she did. She got a nickname amongst the staff as the Cray Cray. You know what Cray Cray means? She was. I'm telling you, she talked to herself out loud all the time. And when you tried to talk to her, she couldn't focus. And she would just turn away from you and begin to have a conversation that wasn't you. That's the level. She could not function as a regular human. I mean, she was tormented in her mind. And she went around, worked her way through the whole staff. Nobody was volunteering. But it came to the place where the senior pastor said, your turn. Nobody's been able to help her. Your turn. And so I did the very spiritual thing before she came to the office. I said, Lord, help. That's a powerful prayer. Lord, I don't know what to do. She came in and sat down. And when she sat down, the Lord gave me the answer. I took all that we had at that time of the confessions of a new creation that you have in your bulletin. You'll see different ones every week. And I want to tell you something. I gave her all of those, and I showed her how to go through the word and confess it. It is written. Weapon of our warfare. The word of God is our sword. It is written. That's what Jesus said. Go through them again and say, thank you, Lord, because that's receiving the word. It is written. Thank you, Lord. Next one is, I believe. I believe that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You see what I'm saying? You're agreeing with it. Just the word. I want to tell you something. I prayed over, spent time with her, gave her every one of those confessions of a new creation that I had. And I said, you go home, go through this two or three times a day and use all these prefaces. It is written, I believe, and thank you, Lord. That's your project. She came back a week later and she wasn't talking out loud to herself. After another week, she came back and she actually made sense. After another week, she came by, and not only was she confessing the word, she had it memorized. She could say them back to back. She got up in front of the church and gave a victory testimony. And everybody knew that it was the power of the word of God transforming her computer to new life. Now, after a little while, we lost track of her. That happens in church life, doesn't it? Where'd they go? The Family Bureau of Investigation can't find them. I don't know where they went. They come and go. Well, it was about a year later. I had a day off. Praise God. And I'm walking through the house, and the 700 Club was on. I'm walking through the house, and I heard a voice on the TV. I wasn't even paying attention. I heard a voice on the TV, and I recognized the voice. It was her voice. I come back and get in front of the TV and say, I know you. She couldn't hear me. I know you. I saw Jesus touch you. And all, she's sharing her testimony because at this time, she had a decorating business to the honor and glory of God. She'd go in homes and decorate homes to the honor and glory of God. Scriptures and all that put up. But she shared the testimony. I had a pastor in Texas that showed me how to take the word of God and apply it to my life. I embrace the word of God, and the power of the word of God reprogrammed my computer, not only to set me free, but to give me wisdom and understanding in an area I'd never knew. And she was walking in prosperity because of the meditating on the word of God. Okay. All right. I want you to have ears to hear right now. I'm putting these back on. I want you to have ears to hear. Would you just listen? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. How about this? Listen to his heartbeat this week. Listen to his heartbeat. I want you to want me like I want you. I want you to love me like I love you. I want you to know me like I know you. I want you to see me like I see you, because I see you through my son. B-I-B-L-E. I want you to focus on my son in this word. I want you to see him. I want you to hear him. And you will see me and hear me. Somebody give the Lord praise. Amen. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he beautiful? Beautiful. Isn't he Prince of Peace? Mighty God. Isn't he? Isn't he beautiful? Let the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to you this week through his word. If you'll just approach him in a worthy manner,
He'll open up the eyes and the ears of your heart. And you won't just have a quiet time. You'll have an encounter with him that's transformational. He'll give you a rhema word to apply to your life because he is life. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make this true and light to us. Help us recognize you. Help us see you. Why don't you take your communion elements? Take the bread. I've shared with you some different pictures out of the Word today, but this is a picture that he gave us for you to see him. He said, "This is my body that was broken for you." He suffered inside and outside for our healing, for us to be made whole inside and outside. Our part is to believe and to receive. Keep it simple, saints. Make it about him. Put your heart toward him. And let's thank him right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that you suffered for our healing. Thank you that by every stripe, we're made whole and we're made well. We say yes to you today. In Jesus' name, for our healing of our heart and our body. And we receive in Jesus' name. In the same way, he took the cup, representing his blood that washes away our sin, that gives us the gift of forever forgiveness, that gives us the gift of forever rightness. His rightness is greater than our wrongness. His righteousness rules and reigns for us to rule and reign on this earth. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of your blood. And we receive the power of your blood right now to wash away every work of condemnation, every work of fear, every work of shame and blame. We declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the power of your blood. We are forever forgiven, and we receive. Let's give the Lord a shout. Let's give the Lord an amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord a praise offering right now. Let's give him a clap offering right now.